On this date, let's say today's November the 19th. On November the 19th, I believe Washington would be in between the Passaic and the Raritan rivers in Jersey, heading south, being chased again by an army of 20,000 British regulars and 10,000 Hessian mercenaries who have been hired to kill. That's what they did. Kill. In the first week, after having successfully navigated and beaten by hours Cornwallis to the Delaware River, they're now camped out on opposite sides of the river. The Hessians take up residence in Trenton, as you famously know. They kick all the townspeople out, and Washington sets his camp up at Trenton Falls across the river. They can actually see each other on a good, clear day. It's at this point where one of Washington's generals, who has been sending messages to, "Hey, dude, I need you." And the guy's going like, "I'm just going to sit out here and wait for you to lose so that I ultimately get command of the Continental Army." That guy gets actually captured. And 4,000 of his troops captured. Washington has about 5,000 men. 3,500 of them, their enlistments will expire on December the 31st. You know what that means? The Continental Congress is broke. They don't have any money. They're more broke than we are today. They're actually broke. That means those men are going to bolt. They're not going to serve anymore because they're not going to get paid. All this is going on, and yet does Washington quit? Nope. Trump is our Washington. Thomas Paine sits down and writes the following. Very lengthy. I'll just read one little short passage from it. You'll recognize it as soon as I start. The Crisis, Part 1. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us. At the heart of the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods. And it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated. Britain, with an army to enforce her tyranny, has declared that she has a right not only to tax, but to bind us in all cases whatsoever. And if being bound in that manner is not slavery, then is there not such a thing as slavery upon earth? Even the expression is impious, for so unlimited a power can belong only to God. Whether the independence of the continent was declared too soon or delayed too long, I will not now enter into as an argument. My own simple opinion is that had it been 8 months earlier, it would have been much better. We did not make a proper use of last winter. Neither could we while we were in a dependent state. However, the fault, if it were one, was all our own. We have none to blame but ourselves. But no great deal is lost yet. All that General Howe has been doing for this month past is rather a ravage than a conquest, which the spirit of the Jerseys a year ago would have quickly repulsed, in which time and a little resolution will soon recover. I have as little superstition in me as any man living, but my secret opinion has ever been and still is that God Almighty will not give up a people to military destruction or leave them unsupported to perish, who have so earnestly and so repeatedly sought to avoid the calamities of war by every decent method which wisdom could invent. Neither have I so much of the infidel in me as to suppose that he has relinquished the government of the world and given us up to the care of devils. And as I cannot see on what grounds the King of Britain can look up to heaven for help against us. A common murderer, a highwayman, or a housebreaker has as good a pretense as he. Again, I'll throw the link up in the chat room at crusadechannel.com as Thomas Paine from The Crisis. Put that in context now. He's actually camped out with Washington's army, and he is there on the banks of the Delaware River. On the other side, he can see 10,000 Hessian mercenaries who want to kill him and everyone that he's with. He can see the British generals have set their camp up, and he knows it's only a matter of time before they marshal their forces together, put a plan to cross the river somewhere, and then come and capture Washington and end the war. That was the situation that George Washington found himself in late November of 1776. So let's put what we're up against in context. They haven't won a battle yet. Not one. They haven't won Pennsylvania. They haven't won North... as a matter of fact, they lost a battle. They lost North Carolina. Trump's 1-0. They haven't won Nevada. They haven't won Arizona. They haven't won Georgia. They haven't won Pennsylvania. By their own admission, they haven't won Michigan. Oh, boy, where do you hear the news on that? And they certainly haven't won Wisconsin. Why are people abandoning ship? I don't get it. I want to start today's program by reminding you, September the 12th, 2018, you didn't hear it anywhere else in the talk radio mafia. You heard it here on November the 4th. I told you that President Trump saw some of this coming. He knew they were going to do something like this. He wrote an executive order to deal with it. Play Lee Dundas, a human rights attorney, just the first 2 minutes. This is a 9-minute long clip. I'm not going to play the whole thing. You only need to get the first 2 minutes. By the way, thanks to Coleman in the chat room for the contribution. Coleman, thank you. Every time I think of Coleman, I think of Trading Places with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd, one of Dan Aykroyd's best. Listen to Lee Dundas explain to you what I told you was in play. Maybe now you'll believe it because you'll hear it from one of Trump's attorneys. Roll it, please.
Hey, folks. Human rights attorney Lee Dundas here. I want to talk to you today a little bit about a recent declaration of a national emergency by President Trump to deal with the threat of interference in U.S. elections and how this intersects Trump's legal team's statements in the last 48 hours on the election irregularities, if you will, and what this all means taken as a whole. So recently, Donald Trump issued an executive order that I was actually not familiar with entitled Imposing Certain Sanctions in the Event of Foreign Interference in a United States Election. In that order, he noted that people had the ability to interfere in or undermine public confidence in United States elections. These are direct quotes. This ability included, and I quote again, the unauthorized accessing of election and campaign infrastructure, which was defined to include information and communications technology, as well as systems used by or on behalf of the federal government or a state or local government in managing the election process, which specifically, if you look at the definitions of what this all sort of devolves down to, includes, and I quote again, voter registration databases, voting machines, voting tabulation equipment, and equipment for the secure transmission of election results.
Oh, really?
Trump further noted, a point I'm come back to later in this little piece, that people had the ability to interfere with elections through, quote, distribution of propaganda and disinformation, end quote. The president went on in later paragraphs of the executive order to state that the, quote, proliferation of digital devices and internet-based communications has created significant vulnerabilities and magnified the scope and intensity of the threat of foreign interference. And then he opined that such constituted, quote, an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security of the United States, after which he unequivocally concluded, I hereby declare a national emergency to deal with this threat. I repeat, Donald Trump, by way of executive order, said, I hereby declare a national emergency to deal with this threat. How is this threat to be dealt with? Well, within 45 days after the, quote, conclusion of a United States election, an assessment
will be conducted to determine whether a person... So there you have it for one of Trump's attorneys. This is not, I see somebody in the chat room going, that's it, I'm out. This is total delusion. It's not total delusion. We're chasing facts here. Fact. Georgia's not been called. It's not going to be called. Fact. Michigan's not been called. By the by, the two canvas board members from Wayne County rescinded their votes and said, my original vote counts. No, I will not vote to certify. The Secretary of State is going to have to do it. And the legislature then is threatening to convene a special session to force or compel an audit of Wayne County. Democrats don't want an audit of Wayne County. They're going to go down in smoldering flames. Fact, Michigan, Wisconsin has not been certified. Trump, the Trump campaign went to court yesterday and asked for a recount. I believe that they're going to get it. Fact, Arizona is a basket case of corruption. Not been certified, not been called. Fact, Nevada, not been certified, not been called. Several lawsuits making their way through. Now, let me give you the skinny on how this might play out. Play digital media file number number four. Start at the 8-minute mark. This is Professor Alan Dershowitz is going to explain what Trump's strategy might be evolving to be and why he'll win. Listen.
To a vote in Congress. Alan Dershowitz is a renowned lawyer, retired Harvard law professor, and the host of a podcast called The Dersh Show. In an interview with NTD News, Professor Dershowitz started by mentioning two general categories of lawsuits in this election, which he described as wholesales and retail challenges. Wholesale challenges, like the one in Pennsylvania, deals with broad legal questions that potentially impact thousands of votes in one case. Retail lawsuits, like the legal challenges in Michigan and Arizona, are lawsuits that deal with issues on a case-by-case scenario. These cases have a smaller and much lower impact, and more difficult to prove because they need to go through trials.
If the number of voters that voted for Biden over Trump exceeds the number of votes that are being challenged, then the issue becomes moot and the Supreme Court won't take the case. But if the number of challenged votes exceed the difference between Biden and Trump, then the Supreme Court will take the case and I think will probably rule in favor of Trump.
One of the ways is to keep Biden from winning 270 votes.
Now, what's the website? Here's the evidence. There's a website out there. Hereistheevidence.com. Go to that website. Every piece of evidence is now being cataloged by a volunteer group that is not only cataloging it, but they're providing hyperlinks to the sources so that if you want to try and verify the evidence, then you can do so. This is important stuff here. Why is that important? Because you just heard Dershowitz say, if the amount of people that are challenging or saying they're disenfranchised exceeds the amount of votes Sleepy Joe won by, the SCOTUS will have to take that case. Now, I think they take the Pennsylvania case ultimately anyway, in Article 1, Section 4, and that the mail-in ballots should all be thrown out that were received after 9 p.m. Tuesday night, election night. This is a no-brainer.